Take your Bible tonight, church, and would you go to Numbers chapter 12 with me? The book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 12. All right, anybody else need a handout? Got everybody? Good. Tonight I want to examine an Old Testament story, and it's the story of Miriam and Aaron. Does anybody know who was Miriam and Aaron? That's right. They were the brother and sister of Moses. And I want us to look and see tonight how they responded to their brother Moses, who, of course, was the leader of the nation of Israel. Look in Numbers chapter 12. And I guess Moses had gotten married to an Ethiopian woman. And Miriam and Aaron did not care for that decision. And isn't it funny how in-law problems go back a long ways, don't they? And man, it goes way, way back. But look at Numbers 12, verse 1. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And God did. You know, this story, I think, teaches us some very valuable principles about a common problem that all of us are susceptible to. And that's the problem of bitterness. We're also going to not only look at Numbers 12 in detail, we're also going to tie in some New Testament references to substantiate the teachings that we're going to give you. So let's do this, church. Let's all bow our heads right now and let's pray before we begin. And let's ask the Lord to search our hearts to see if there be any bitterness in our heart towards anybody. Father, we come before you now through the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the freedom that comes through just having a loving and forgiving heart and not holding grudges. Thank you so much that we can have the joy of the Lord. And if we don't have joy, we know that we can look in the mirror, and that's the reason why, because you have given us all that we need in Christ through the Holy Spirit to have joy. You said the fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and joy. And so thank you that we can have a loving heart, a peaceful heart, and a joyful heart at all times. And that it's not dictated, Father, by our circumstances. Thank you so much for the joy that you give us. Jesus, thank you for the joy that you said that you would give us that no man can take from us. I pray, Father, that you'll do a mighty work. Thank you for everyone that's come out tonight to be a part of our midweek Bible study. And I pray that it will encourage our hearts, and pray, Father, that we'll all leave here better understanding, Lord, how we can overcome this temptation to get bitter at other people. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at what is bitterness in your handout. Number one, bitterness is a past grudge. A past grudge. There are people that I have known that have carried grudges for 30 years, 40 years. You know, they can tell you in detail about what happened and how they were done dirty, how they were done wrong. D.L. Moody, famous preacher of yesteryear, tells a funny story of a man who thought he was going to die. He supposed he was going to die. Thought he was on his deathbed. And he expressed his forgiveness to another man who had injured him greatly, done him wrong. And he expressed his forgiveness to this guy. But then he added this. He said, "Now, mind you, if I get well, the old grudge holds good." Bitterness is a past grudge. It's a past grudge. It's just something gets in our craw, festers, and it's a grudge. Number two is it's a present resentment. It's not only a past grudge, but a past grudge can turn into an ever-present resentment. It's kind of like this illustration. I was a little hesitant to bring this in as an illustration, given the big speech that I made the other day, a backpack. Made the big speech Sunday about the backpack, you know, and if anybody leaves a backpack around to tell somebody and feel free to look in it. I promise you there is nothing in this, all right? But a grudge is something that we pick up that grudge, you know, and we throw it on our shoulders. And imagine for a moment that this backpack's full of bricks. And it's heavy. And it's weighty. And a lot of people, what they do is they pick up that grudge. And they throw that grudge on their shoulders. And then they carry that with them. They've carried it with them ever since. Ever since they picked up the grudge, everywhere they go, they carry that thing with them. It doesn't matter if they move out of the area, if they change homes, if they lived in a different city, if they go to a different church. It doesn't matter if they change jobs. None of that matters, because they've got that ever-present resentment with them from that past grudge that they picked up. And everywhere they go, they take that resentment with them because they picked up that grudge long ago. Number three is bitterness is not only a past grudge and a present resentment, but bitterness is a refusal to forgive. It's a refusal to forgive. You know, you won't drop the backpack. You know what I mean? The person that has that grudge, they will not just say, "Hey, you know what? Man, I don't need this. I'm going to turn loose of this." They won't turn loose of it. Because in their mind, if they did that, that would be like a sign of weakness on their part. Or if they let the grudge go, in their mind, that would be an admission that other person was right in what they did and that they were wrong. So rather than do that, they just keep the grudge and they carry it with them everywhere they go, because, you know, they don't want to at all turn loose of it, because they're afraid that might be an admission that maybe they were wrong and the other person was right, or, you know, that it's a sign of weakness of some sort. But the Bible is very clear. I want you to keep your bookmarker here, because we're going to go through this chapter. But go to the New Testament. I told you we were going to kind of flip over there too. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. I want to show you here a couple of key verses. Ephesians 4. And let's go to the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 4. All right, we're going to go to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. The Bible says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, and then notice the word here, forgiving. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The Bible is very clear, if you read those two verses, that the opposite of bitterness is what? Come on, a little louder. The opposite of bitterness is what?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Letting go of the backpack. Forgiveness. Instead of carrying that thing around. Let's look at the second thing in your notes tonight. Number two, why do we become bitter? Why do we become bitter? Why does that happen? Well, you say it's simple, because they did me dirty. Well, let's go and look at it a little more in depth. Go back to Numbers. Keep your bookmarker in Ephesians, because we're going to go back in that area. But go to Numbers chapter 12 now, back to our text. And let me give you about three reasons that I think are main reasons from this text. And I think they're in the text, and they're also very true in our lives. Okay, number one, the first reason that we get bitter is that we focus on the actions of others. We focus on the actions of others. The key word there is focus. It says in your handout there, I believe, that bitterness is usually not sudden. It is subtle. Bitterness is usually not sudden. It's subtle. Go to Numbers 12 and look at verse 1. Notice how Miriam and Aaron are focusing on the actions of Moses. It says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. They are focused on the actions of Moses. And now listen, church, here's what's happened. And I think we've all been guilty. A person does something that we don't like. And what do? We focus on it. We dwell on it. You know, we meditate on it. And we've all been there. You know, and the more that we dwell on that thing, the more angry we become and the more bitter we get. Miriam and Aaron allowed this thing to fester in their hearts. They focused on what they thought were wrong actions by Moses. And we do the same thing. You know, we focus on the wrong actions of this person, that person. And man, we mull it over. And by the time we're done mulling that thing over, mercy, you know, by the time we're done, we not only know what they did, we know why they did it. We read between the lines and we know their purpose. We know their motives and we are mad. And of course, what happens? We're focused on them. And what have we done? We've taken our eyes off of Jesus Christ. Amen, church. We've taken our eyes off of Christ, and we're going to focus now on somebody else. In your handout, it says that bitterness begins as a seed. Bitterness begins as a seed, and then it takes root, and then it spreads like cancer throughout our entire being. It spreads like cancer through our entire being. And then, of course, we can infect others with it. Go with me to the New Testament again. Let's do that, all right? Isn't this fun? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I love cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture. Look at Hebrews 12 towards the back of your Bible. Okay, Hebrews. Hebrews is your first book right after Paul's epistles. Isn't that interesting? Because Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And then the next book, boom, is Hebrews, which is Jews, Israel. And God is going to pick up that program with Israel. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, 15. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That has a lot of dispensational stuff there. We're not going to get into all that. But then it says, lest any, and this is what I want to focus on, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and look at this, thereby many be defiled. Bitterness starts as a seed, and then that seed takes root. And then once it takes root, it begins to spread. And then, of course, we can end up defiling others with our bitter spirit. Have y'all ever seen that happen before? Somebody gets bitter and then they infect someone else with that bitterness. and it begins to spread. That's sad when that happens. You know, one of the reasons why we get bitter is we focus on the actions of others. We take our eyes off of Christ and we begin to look at people. Let me ask you a question. How many people on this earth, how many people are going to let you down? How many? Everybody. Everyone. And by the way, are you ever going to let people down? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You see, no one's perfect. And so people are going to let you down. People are going to be hypocritical. And if all of us got really transparent, we would all admit there's areas of hypocrisy in all of our lives here tonight. There's areas of hypocrisy. If everybody knew us through and through, wouldn't you agree with me in that? Huh? I think we all have struggles. We all have battles. And we can't focus on people. You know, we've got to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ. By the way, isn't it great to know Christ will never let you down? He will never disappoint you. You don't ever have to be concerned about that. Christ is perfect. No, men aren't. Women aren't. But we know that Christ is. And so that's one reason. We focus on the actions of others. Number two, let's go to the second thing. I think another reason why we become bitter is we become prideful in our hearts. We become prideful in our hearts. Go back with me to Numbers chapter 12. We're going to be back and forth, as I said. Go back to Numbers 12 and look at verse 2. Church, look at verse 2. And they said, notice what they said here out loud. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. They basically, y'all see what they're saying, right? You guys get the drift here. They're basically saying, who does Moses think he is? The middle letter in the word pride is what? I. And that's when we begin to say things like, I was done wrong. I don't deserve that. I deserve better. I don't appreciate that. There's a verse in Proverbs 13:10 that I've known for years, and I've really thought about it a lot. And this verse is a really profound verse. It's a little nugget tucked away in the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs 13:10, here's what it says. I'll just read it to you. It says, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. So if there's bitterness, there's obviously contention. So if there's bitterness, there's pride somewhere. Somewhere there is pride. Pride will not allow us to admit that, you know, I may have been wrong, or I may have been partly wrong, or you know what, I may have responded wrong, or hey, you know what, I may have jumped to conclusions. Pride won't let us say that. Pride won't let us say, you know, maybe I misjudged that. Maybe that was a bad call on my part. Maybe I judged that person's heart and that wasn't accurate the way I judged that. Or, man, I misjudged their motive. Their motive really wasn't evil. It really wasn't. Or maybe I was too hard on them. Maybe my expectations were too high. You know, and our pride just won't let us think that way. See, pride leads us to bitterness. We feel like we're above being treated in such a way. How dare they treat me that way? And that's basically what Miriam and Aaron are doing, is that how dare he do this to us? You know, how dare? They did not like this wife of his. And they were like, how dare he do this? How dare he treat us this way? Hath the Lord only spoken by him? I mean, we're just as important as he is. You know, and you know how it works. We get prideful in our hearts, and that leads to bitterness. Number three, third thing, why do we become bitter? Number three, jealousy overtakes us. Jealousy overtakes us. You can just see the jealousy in verse 2, can't you? Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? And then they said, hath he not spoken also by us? Hasn't the Lord spoken by us? I mean, haven't we done just as much as Moses for this nation? You know, and you can just sense the jealousy there, you know, and then that happens. I mean, that happens. We got to guard against it, though. You know, why did they get that position and not me? I'm as qualified as they are. I mean, that's not fair. You know, why do they always have the money for nice things and we struggle to just pay the bills? Why do they drive a new car and I drive this old clunker? You know, these items of jealousy, if we let this junk creep into our heart, then what happens is that can very easily and that can very quickly turn into bitterness. We get bitter because we're jealous. And we begin to resent the success of others. We resent the money that other people have. We resent their possessions. We resent their position. You know, maybe it's someone at work that we get bitter at because we're jealous over the position they got. You know, maybe it's somebody at church and we're jealous because of the position they have. And we feel like we should have that position. Maybe it's somebody, a neighbor, and they've got a new car and we get jealous and we get bitter. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways that can happen. But jealousy can quickly turn into bitterness. All right, let's look at a third thing. Number three, moving right along here. Who is bitterness most likely to be directed towards? I think there's some lessons here in this story. Number one, those to whom we have done or given the most. Those to whom we have done or given the most. Miriam, now how many of y'all remember this story? Do y'all remember in Exodus chapter 2, do y'all remember the key component that Miriam was in Moses being alive? Do y'all remember that story? You remember that they were killing the Hebrew children? And Moses' mother hid him 3 months until obviously he got too big. And then she made an ark of bulrushes and she sat him down by the river. Y'all are looking at me like you never heard this story. Y'all have heard this, right? All right. And she puts him down there by the river. And she puts him down there, sets him in the river. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter comes. Well, the Bible says Miriam was watching from a distance. She was keeping an eye on little Moses the whole time. And when she saw Pharaoh's daughter find him, Miriam, his sister, is the one that went running down there to Pharaoh's daughter, and she said, "Do you want me to go get one of the Jewish ladies to come and nurse him and take care of him for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter's like, "Yes, go right now." Well, who do you think she went and got? Yeah, her mama, Moses' mama. And so Miriam, that young, probably a teenager at the time, she was a very key element in Moses even being alive, Moses even living. And she was smart. She was prudent, obviously. I mean, even as a young person, she had it together and she was bright and intelligent. Now she's, you know, so she's big sister. She's helped rescue Moses. I'm sure she helped raise him. And can't you just hear Miriam talking to Aaron about this woman he's married? And can't you just hear the bitterness as she says, "I helped raise that boy. And now he's embarrassed us by marrying that woman after all I've done for him." Now I can just hear it, can't you? And here's the deal. Even though we try to give to others, and we try to give to our local church, I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about giving your time, your energy, your efforts. And yeah, your money too, but we give to our local church and we give to other brothers and sisters in Christ and we give above and beyond at work and we give to maybe somebody in need. We give, you know, to our kids or we give to a family member. And even though we try to give to others with the attitude of no strings attached, in reality, it's very hard to have no expectations. You know, it's very hard. It's easier until the person that we've given to, in our mind, does us wrong. And then it's very easy to get the attitude, I have done all this for them, and look how they've treated me. And we can get bitter. Do you know what I have found through the years here is that in church work, do you know who the people in the church who are the most likely to get bitter and mad and angry and leave the church? Do you know who it is? It's the people who do the most for the church. Why? Why? Because it's hard to give with no strings attached, isn't it? We say we're doing it. We say that when we serve, we're doing it for who? We say we're doing it for Christ. And we mean that. It's not that we're trying to lie about it. We mean it. We are doing it for Christ. But it's so hard to give with no strings attached and no expectations. And what happens is the people who give the most to the church, then when a decision goes against them or someone at the church, a leader does something that they feel is wrong or offends them, then it's very easy, like Miriam, to say, man, after all I've done, this is the way I get treated. I'm just being realistic tonight. And I'm telling you that when it comes to bitterness, the easiest people to get bitter at are those to whom you've done the most. Number two, the second principle I see here from Numbers 12 is that another area where it's easy to get bitter is those in authority. Those in authority. You know, Moses was the spiritual leader of Israel. Am I right or wrong? Was he the leader? Yes or no? Yes. Who led Israel out of bondage in Egypt? Moses. It wasn't Aaron and Miriam. It was Moses. Clearly, Moses, and it wasn't because he was better than them. It's just that God, he always works through someone, a leader. And God raised up Moses. Certainly, I mean, from Moses' own admission, he probably wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. You know, he had a speech impediment. He had issues. But, you know, we know that Moses had issues going way back when he lived in Egypt. I mean, this isn't a man without issues. We know he did. And we know he was far from perfect. But he was the leader. He was the leader of Israel. And Miriam and Aaron are like, well, man, who does he think he is? And you know, God hadn't just spoken by him. He's spoken by us too. And we're as smart as him, you know. And we know as much as him. And what's the point, the principle, is that it's very easy to get bitter at those in authority, whether it's spiritual leaders at church, whether it's the boss at work. Teenagers can get bitter at their parents. You know, it's easy to get bitter at those in authority. Why? Well, because maybe they make decisions that we don't like or that we don't agree with. Maybe we feel that they shouldn't be the leader and that we should be the leader. You know, we feel like, man, I ought to be the leader. I'm as sharp as him. And, you know, Aaron and Miriam, it appears from Scripture, were every bit as sharp as Moses. And maybe more so, you know. But we can kind of get that attitude that, hey, you know what? I'm as sharp as them and I know as much as them. And in fact, I know more than the leader. And because leaders are in the spotlight, and they are, leaders are under a microscope. And because of that, because they're in that spotlight, we can tend to see their faults very quickly. And we can forget that they're human. And we can feel like, well, man, I'm as smart and I'm as gifted as they are. You know, who are they to tell me what to do? And bitterness, if we're not careful, bitterness can creep in. Bitterness can creep in against those who we've given the most to, those in authority. But then there's a third area. Let's look at the third one. Who is bitterness most likely going to be directed towards? Number three, those who are in our family. And that would include our spiritual family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, again, we've already said this. But Miriam and Aaron, who got bitter, who did they get bitter at? Moses. But what was Moses to them? Their brother. He was their brother. You know, and it's very easy to get bitter towards those in our family. Let's just be honest. You know, we live with them. Probably most of you in here who have siblings. One of the things that I've found through the years again is that brothers and sisters typically aren't close. The old sibling rivalry thing, you know, and that's kind of natural, but yet it can be carnal and it can be motivated by pride. And it's easy to let that happen. And most of the time it seems like, you know, that like siblings aren't close, you know, because of bitterness. And I'm not saying that you have to be close. I mean, a lot of times we've got family and they live 1,000 miles away. And so, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be close. All I'm saying is it's one thing to not be close, but man, it's a whole nother level to let bitterness come in your life and get bitter at them and get to where you just have that writhing, just despise them. That's wrong. That doesn't belong in a Christian's heart. You see, the reason why it's so easy to get bitter at family and spiritual family is because you live with them. And so you see their faults on a daily basis. You see their faults. I can promise you one thing tonight. Nobody knows my faults as well as Denise. Okay, you may think you know them. But just sit down and talk to Denise for a while. No, don't do that, as a matter of fact. She wouldn't talk to you about it anyway. But, you know, those in our family know us the best. You know, they know us the best. Take your I told you to stay in Ephesians because I wanted you to go to Colossians chapter 3, which is right by Ephesians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And go to Colossians chapter 3. This is why Paul wrote what he wrote here in Colossians 3 to the church. He's writing to a local church like Crossroads. And look what he says here. He deals with this issue. Verse 18. Notice how he anticipates there's going to be these family squabbles and these family issues. Look at verse 18. Wives, chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. That's what we're talking about tonight, bitterness. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children, notice to what? Anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, why do you think Paul put that in there? Because wives can get bitter. And they can decide, man, I'm not going to follow my husband's leadership. He is this and that. I was going to say something stronger about it. And I'm not going to follow him. Paul knew that was going to happen. Women would get bitter at their husband because you see his faults better than anybody else. He anticipated that husbands then would in turn get bitter at their wives. And he knew that the potential was there for a man to get real bitter at his wife because she's not doing this or that or what he expects. And he, again, knows her better than anybody. And so he could get bitter. He anticipated that children could get filled with anger towards their parents. He anticipated that. He knew that that they could get very, very bitter toward their parents. And he knew that dads could get bitter towards his teenagers or his kids and then provoke them to anger. He knew all that was going to happen. See, we expect love and we expect understanding from our family. We have high expectations. And that crosses over to church family too. You have higher expectations for your church family than anybody else. Maybe even more so than your extended family. And we have these high expectations. And when we're done wrong, it hurts very deeply. No doubt about it. It hurts deeply. But you got to be careful. Because if you're not careful, bitterness will result from that hurt. I would say probably 90%, I'd say probably 90% of our bitterness, 90% of our bitterness problems fall into one of those three categories that we just went through. Someone that we were once close to, somebody in authority, or somebody in our family. I'll bet you 90% of our bitterness issues falls in one of those three groups, just like Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Let me give you one final thing, all right? Look in your handout. What does bitterness eventually lead to? All right, let's go back to Numbers 12, please. And we'll, in conclusion, let me give you this. Numbers 12, number one, division. Write that in your notes. What does bitterness lead to? Well, it leads to division. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Notice how God takes Aaron and Miriam and divides them apart. Man, what an illustration. When we get bitter, we create a division between us and the person that we're bitter at. It cannot help but happen. We build these walls that separate and divide. And by the way, that bitterness that we have can cause division to those who aren't even involved in the issue, because we go to somebody else about it, and then we want them to take sides, of course, our side. And so we go to someone else with our bitterness. And like I said earlier, it spreads like cancer. He said the root of bitterness can spring up and defile many. And so now, you know, we've got other people involved in our issues that they weren't even involved in it, but now we've gone to them. You know, and bitterness just causes division. It just does. You know, we can try to be a hypocrite, and we can try to cover up our bitterness, but those bitter vibes are there. They're just there. You ever been mad at somebody and tried to hide it? You ever been bitter at someone and tried to hide it? Come on, be honest, have you? Isn't that a great feeling? I mean, isn't that just a wonderful, wonderful feeling? No, it's despicable, isn't it? It's a nasty feeling. When you are bitter and yet you've got to look at someone and smile or shake their hand or act like everything's okay, that is the most raunchy, terrible feeling in the world. To be bitter and then try to cover it and try to act like it's not there. What a horrible feeling. Would y'all agree with me? Isn't it easier just to go to the Lord and get that thing right? Just get it out and love that person fervently. Just say, man, I'm going to love them. All right, number two. The second thing that bitterness leads to is God's displeasure. Now, of course, we read this earlier, so I'm not going to read it all again, but look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And of course, we know that Miriam then became leprous as a judgment from God. Now, what's the point? The point is this. God cannot and will not condone bitterness. It grieves the Holy Spirit. God is never going to say, you know what, you're right. Man, just stay bitter because you got it right. That's never going to be God's attitude. God is never going to pat you on the back and say, you know what? You got every right, man. Just stay bitter, stay angry, be resentful. Man, don't drop that grudge. Man, keep it on your shoulders because you got a right. God's never going to do that. He said, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Was Moses right or wrong about the Ethiopian woman? Well, that wasn't the issue with God. That was not the issue. God was not in the mood to discuss whether Moses was right or wrong. He wanted to deal with the envy, the jealousy, and the bitterness that was in Miriam and Aaron's heart. When the Lord spake suddenly unto all three of them, he said, you three, come down to the tabernacle. And they three came out, and I can't prove this, but I'm wondering if Aaron and Miriam are thinking, well, good, I'm glad God's going to do something about this. You know, And they're thinking, yeah, well, good. Moses is going to get what's coming to him now. God's heard us and he knows that we're upset and we've got every right. And so he's going to put Moses in his place. God was not in the mood to discuss Moses' marriage decisions, was he? He wanted to deal with that bitterness. That's what God wanted to deal with, was Miriam's heart. You know what I get from that as a way of practical application? You know, like I said, Moses wasn't perfect. And you know what? You know, the whole thing of him marrying a Gentile woman probably wasn't right. You know, not that back then it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Because back then the Jews weren't to intermarry with the heathen. That was against the law. You know, but as I look at that thing, you know how that speaks to me is that God can use us despite our blunders, despite our mistakes, our shortcomings, our struggles, our stupidity. He can use us. But you know what? God can't really use a bitter person. He really can't use them. I'm not saying there's not activity there. Maybe there's not stuff going on in their life where they feel like they're being used. God can't even begin to use a bitter person the way he really wants to use them to impact lives. Because bitterness, the Bible says, grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm bitter and I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, how can the Holy Spirit fill me with his power? He can't. That's the answer. He can't. When I choose to get bitter, I'm basically saying I would rather have my bitterness than the filling of the Holy Spirit. I would rather hang on to my bitterness than be filled with Holy Ghost power to serve the Lord. You see, God wanted to deal with that thing. Number three, I've got to hurry. I'm out of time. Physical sickness. Bitterness can lead to physical sickness. Of course, we know that Miriam got leprosy. The word bitter means poison in the New Testament. I heard one person say, I like this. Bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You know? It's like, you know, I don't have a water cup tonight. But anyway, it's like, I'm mad at Pastor Rich. Ooh, I'm so ticked at him. You see this cup of poison? I'll show him. Then I'm watching to see when he's going to die. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, I realize in our text that this was a direct judgment from God, you know, but and I don't believe God's going to just directly, he's not going to give you leprosy if you're bitter, okay? But there's a good practical application here. Bitterness is a form of stress, and it can destroy you physically. It can put you literally in an early grave, which is what we talked about Sunday night. There's no preset day you're going to die. It's based on choices and decisions you make. And when you hold on to bitterness, you know, it's going to affect you. It can put you in an early grave. You got to turn loose of that junk. Number four, loss of joy and isolation. Of course, we know Miriam then was set apart from the rest of the camp. And because of her leprosy. By the way, who do you hurt the most when you're bitter? Yourself. You're allowing that other person to control you. They did something to tick you off, and now you're going to allow that action to control you. Loss of joy, isolation. The fifth principle I see from this story is that bitterness leads to a hindrance to your Christian walk. She brought the nation of Israel to a standstill. Look down at verse 15. Verse 15. It says, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. There's that isolation. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. She took the whole nation and brought it to a standstill because of her bitterness. By the way, can that happen in our Christian life? You'll come to a standstill, friend. Your Bible reading will become mechanical. Your prayer life will be lifeless. Your service for the Lord will be fleshly. And before you can move on and before you can begin to grow again, the bitterness has to be dealt with. Amen, church. Let Christ work in you. Turn loose of the bitterness. Let Christ work in you. And allow the joy of the Lord to fill your heart. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer.